Today on Real Radio.
The word saint in the New Testament is not what we think, like, oh, you know, the cardinals or the pope declared this person to become a saint. Nowhere is that found in the Bible.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On this week's editions of Real Radio, our teacher presents a topical series. This being what is known as Passion Week, affords us the opportunity to get you to face the historicity and reality of the most influential figure that ever lived, Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Why Jesus?
Matthew chapter 21, we're considering why Jesus. Why is Jesus so important and why today? Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go into the village opposite and immediately you will find a donkey tied there, a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. That's the code word. The Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Church, verse 5 was written over 600 years before Jesus was even born. So mark that down. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him in the midst of them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches or palm branches, as Marty said a moment ago, from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes went before those who followed and cried out, saying, here's another verse taken right out of a psalm, 118th psalm, 1,000 years before Jesus was born. So the people said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And then Jesus went into the temple of God, that is there in Jerusalem, and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers, and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, here's another verse he quotes that is 1,000 years old. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came into the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, listen, they were indignant. They were angry. Why do we believe what we believe this morning? Why is today so important? Church, friends, ladies and gentlemen, visitors, if you're here or listening in right now, this is Palm Sunday. And what's it all about? Is it some tradition? No. Is it something that some church somewhere started and it just caught on? Nope. Palm Sunday is a prophetic event that was revealed in Scripture prior to the event ever taking place. Palm Sunday was announced in the Old Testament Scriptures, fulfilled 2,000 years ago on this day in history. And now we look back this far removed, and why? Why Jesus today? We're going to be looking at some of those things. I want you to keep this in mind as we look to these arguments, that this morning I want to come to you. Though many of you already know these things, I want to come to you this morning and maybe for the rest of this week, in a sense, arguing with you. And I mean that in a good way. You know, I'm sad to say that because much of our educational system has been dumbed down or weakened, we don't know how to argue like we used to. There's a gift given to kids by good teachers or parents or community leaders, instructing them on how to critically think. Do you know what that means? to look at situations and to not criticize it. That's not what I mean. We're a generation of criticizers. We'll attack things and we don't know what we're talking about. I'm talking about critical thinking, in that you look at this and you begin to analyze and you ask this question, which we are not encouraged all that much to ask anymore, but we should, and that is the question, why? Excuse me, teacher, why? And the question is threatening to a lot of people. Pastor, why? Well, listen, we ought to be able to give an answer to what we're talking about, because the why questions, when they're answered, brings about good logic, good reason, and meaning and purpose. So we as Christians this morning want you to all hear that we have not decided to cast logic and reason to the wind and step out into some blind faith experience. By no means. What we're looking at this morning is a faith that you and I have as Christians, founded upon fact. That is an awesome thing. Our faith is founded upon fact. The Bible makes the declaration, but according to what's called Bible prophecy, time will test it. Remember, if you go to a good school, or maybe you're in classes today, you go to a lab. You know what a lab is all about? Remember labs? You had your class, you had your instruction, you had your teaching, and then what did you do in the lab? And you know, the lab could be a lab, an actual lab with beakers and stir plates and a lab, like Frankenstein's lab. Or the lab could be this a room, the lab could be the world. But what do? You take what you've been taught, and then you go see how it's applied. And when you apply it, what happens? And what can you expect? Will it break? How long will it last? A lab. Let this teaching go into the lab of your life. Why am I a Christian today? Why is it important? How come I'm a believer? Everything that we believe today is founded upon God's Word revealed to us. And God is so good, He's a God of facts. First thing that we consider this morning, why Jesus and why Jesus on this Palm Sunday? Number one, because Jesus Christ is King. Can you write that down? See, I don't want to write it down. I'm going to ask you to write it down, because it's going to mean something to you, I think, in the end. Because Jesus Christ is King. And you might say, Pastor, stop right there. I don't believe that Jesus Christ is King. That's why I asked you to write it down. Just be patient. When the Bible declares that Jesus Christ is King, think critically. Ask this question in your mind. Why does the Bible say that? Why do people believe that? Maybe this morning you don't. That's okay. But ask this question. Why do people believe it? I want to argue with you this morning. It's based upon fact. How so? This way. What is a king? What is he as a king, king of? If there's a king and a kingdom, if the Bible declares Jesus to be king, the natural question would be, king of what? What is Jesus king of? And the Bible makes some great claims about that. Number one, the Bible declares that Jesus is king of the Jews. You say, well, I don't really care about that. I understand that. But Jesus Christ is king of the Jews, says the Bible. By the way, the Persian wise men who came from the east, remember at Jesus' birth? You know, you all own a nativity scene? The three wise men? By the way, there weren't three of them. We don't know how many kings there were, but they brought three gifts. They came from Persia, from the region of Iraq and Iran today, and they said this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we've come to worship him. That is a factual event. That is recorded in Christian history, Jewish history, and Magi. The Magi's of Persia. The Bible says also that he's the king of Israel. We sing that in some of our Christmas hymns. Mark 15:32 says, let the Christ, the king of Israel, descend now from the cross. They mocked him, that we may see and believe in him. Even those who were crucified reviled Jesus. The scribes and Pharisees mocked Jesus because the claim was given, made of Jesus himself and of the prophets of old, but they didn't believe him. Maybe that's you today. You don't care what the Bible says. You don't care what Jesus said of himself. That unbelieving crowd's a big crowd of people. The scribes and Pharisees said, let him come down from the cross, the king of the Jews, the king of Israel. They mocked him. Yet the Bible says it is true. He is the king of the Jews and the king of Israel. I love this next one. The Bible says he's the king of saints. You mean St. Nicholas and St. Patrick and St. No, that's not what I mean. In Revelation 15:3, the Bible says, "And they sang a song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints.'" You know what I love about that? The word saint in the New Testament is not what we think, like, oh, you know, the cardinals or the pope declared this person to become a saint. Nowhere is that found in the Bible. Are you ready for this? The Bible says that all those who have put their trust in Christ, believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, if you receive that truth, note this, not become a member of Calvary, not go back to some church that you came from and sign up for something, not put any money in the plates, not do anything, has nothing to do with that, but you say today, "I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross according to the Bible, that He rose again from the dead, that He saved me at the cross. I could not save myself. He saved me. He's going to take me to heaven. I trust Him completely to do that." The Bible says you are declared by God to be a saint. Isn't that radical? You say, I don't feel like a saint. I got news for you. In the flesh, we don't look like saints either. Because in our minds, we got these robes flowing for what a saint ought to look like. And we kind of walk, kind of gliding over the ground. That's not it. Isn't that radical? God says, when you trust Christ, I declare you righteous. That's wild. Man, that's salvation. That's what the Bible declares. That He's the King of saints, Revelation 15:3. Listen, also this, He's the King of kings. I think you already knew that. But in Revelation 19:6, the Bible says that on His robe and on His thigh is written a name, King of kings and Lord of lords. Wow. That's our Jesus. He's King. And then the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that He's the King eternal. That Jesus Christ is the eternal King. Did you know that? Jesus didn't exist when Mary gave birth there in Bethlehem. The Bible says Jesus existed in eternity, for He Himself is eternal. There it says, 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners," Paul said, "of whom I am chief. However," he says, "for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone, wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen," says the Scriptures. Wow! Listen, second consideration under this point, Jesus Christ as King, whom is He King for? If that's who is He King of, who's He King for? And this King, or of and for, means this, that, as I said a moment ago, all those who put their trust in Jesus. This is incredible. You mean, Pastor, I could right now, right where I'm sitting, decide today that I'm going to start trusting Jesus Christ in my life to take care of me? Answer, yes. To save you from the dangers of this life or whatever is going on, I tell you what, He may not take us all out of problems. Some problems He will clearly deliver from us. But I got news for you. In this life, because this life's rough, He will walk us through problems. We're all going to have problems. But I tell you what, it's much easier to go through life with Him than without Him. But here's the answer. Ultimately, at the end of the game, when it's all over, oh yes. Oh yes. He is going to be our King, and it will become very, very evident and clear when you stand before your incredible King in heaven above. God makes that very clear. The Bible has great claims about these things. Salvation, for example, in Christ, our King. Whom is He King of? All those who enjoy the salvation of God. You say, well, what is that all about? Well, mark this in relation to the moment. 2,000 years ago, you read it. Jesus is on the donkey. He's riding. They got the clothes. They're putting their ponchos or parkas, what do you want to call them? Their overcoat down on the ground. They're laying palm branches and they're shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" You got to remember something. That's radical. It's radical then. It's radical now. Here's the reason why. See, you and I read it and go, "What's the big deal?" The big deal is these are Jews doing it. They knew the Old Testament. You say, "So what?" They're quoting the 118th Psalm. Number one, the Bible said that when the Messiah would come, that's what people would say. Number two, the Bible prophesied that when the Messiah would come, this is how you would identify Him. They're quoting Psalm 118. Let me read it to you. Verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You say, why? What makes this day special? Well, here it is. Hosanna! Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God, listen, God is the Lord, verse 27 says. You need to remember that. God is the Lord. But as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, this day in history, the nation began to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. If you just stop the frame right there and say, what in the world is going on? This is what's going on. They recognize their Old Testament scriptures based upon their eyewitness judgment, determined that Jesus Christ fit the bill, and for the first time in Israel's history, began to proclaim him as the Lord to save them. A very powerful moment. If you're a detective this morning, you'd have to examine that evidence and conclude that hundreds of thousands of eyewitnesses agreed on this. They were welcoming the Lord, the King, the Messiah. Absolutely fantastic. Psalm 24, 7. Psalm 24, verse 7 says, Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Psalm 24, verse 7 through 10. Israel understood that Jerusalem is the eternal. Jerusalem is the everlasting city. They shouted and proclaimed this psalm, Lift up, O gates, and open wide your doors. Isn't it amazing that Psalm 24 declares this, that God, the Lord, King, will someday come into the gates of Jerusalem. When did that ever happen? Think about it. See, well, that's why I don't believe in the Bible. If you don't believe in the Bible, that's your business. But how do you deal with human history? How do you deal with the evidence of events that took place? And what about the events the Bible said will take place? Thirdly, under this point, Jesus Christ is King. When will his kingdom come? Yeah, that's right. When will his kingdom come? I was going to ask you that, Pastor. When will his kingdom come? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. Because first of all, number one, Jesus said concerning the preaching of the gospel, the kingdom, did he not say the kingdom of God is what? Within you. That's interesting. But the Bible also says that the kingdom of God is coming. Well, that's interesting. When Jesus Christ sits upon the throne of David, which he must do in Jerusalem, the Bible says for 1,000 years after, that will take place after the second coming of Christ, the kingdom of God will come. It's the rule and the reign of God among the people of the world, but in this case right now, for us, it's the rule and the reign of God in the lives of his people. That's how Jesus, and that's what he was referring to when the kingdom of God is within you. It's where Christ sets up his throne, as it were. But when will his kingdom come? Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, going back to the Old Testament, written hundreds of years before the event, hundreds of years. Malachi said in 3:1, and the Lord whom you seek, that's Israel, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming. What did we read a moment ago in Matthew 21? That Jesus Christ came, remember, and he went into Jerusalem and he overturned the marketeers, the money changers in the temple. Remember that? The Bible says he will suddenly come to his temple. And the Old Testament announces it. The New Testament fulfills it. My friend, don't ever think the Old Testament of your Bible and the New Testament of your Bible should somehow be separated. You will never understand one without the other. It's vital. The kingdom is coming at some point in time in totality. The Bible predicted that the Lord would arrive, and suddenly he came. Peter, the Apostle Peter, his eyewitness account led him to make this statement in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1:16, Peter said this. Now listen, all skeptics, listen up. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. Did you know all these guys, the disciples, all died for their faith in Jesus? if it was a cunningly devised fable, do you think they would have said we were joking when they began to peel the skin off of some of them or crucify some of them or boil some of them in oil? Don't you think they would have said, we were kidding? Not one cracked. And people don't crack today under such persecution. Why? We, today, this morning, we do not follow some storybook story. We don't follow some cunningly devised fables. Our faith is founded upon facts. And why is this day, Palm Sunday, so important? Hang on. Don't leave. You'll see why. He says, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Isn't that awesome? That's what Peter said. John said this, John, eyewitness account, led him to declare in 1 John 1:1 that in the beginning, he says, that which was from the beginning, listen, which we have heard with our ears, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have gazed upon, the word means we've studied Him, every inch of Him, we've studied Him, and our hands even handled Him concerning the word of life, that's Jesus Christ. Wasn't that awesome? Hey, John, Peter, James, what can you guys say? Hey, listen, we watched Him like a hawk. We touched Him. We ate with Him. We gazed upon Him. We scrutinized everything He did. We thought critically about His claims. He made all these statements. He said, if a man dies believing in Him, yet shall he live. That's a pretty radical statement, don't you think? Maybe Peter was thinking, that's kind of a crazy thing to say. And it is a crazy thing to say, unless you can back it up. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but through me. That's a radical thing to say. That verse has been declared all around the world. And it is being declared around the world. Pretty radical thing to say, don't you think? Until 3 days later, after He was killed, He's resurrected from the dead. The day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead is the day that the world has to sit up and take notice regarding all that He said and did. Pretty amazing. John said, we touched Him. This kind of statement, this kind of logic and argument, that's a deposition type talk. Have you ever been, you ever had to go to court or put your hand there in the Bible and raise your hand and I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, and the testimony that I'm about to give is true and accurate, and I'm an eyewitness account of these things that I'm about to say, blah, 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 blah. That's how our system works. The Bible says, listen, I swear to tell the truth. Come and examine it and determine and conclude for yourself. Think about it. I invite you to do that today.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation simply called Why Jesus, subtitled In Pursuit of the One True God. It's a study series we're presenting this week for the purpose of getting us to face the choice of whether we are for or against history's most influential figure. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. And what we've done is placed that entire series all on one MP3 CD. So here's our offer for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.